ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय क्वचित् क्षीणा धनस् तुतस्मिन् शयसना स्थाना विहारा विनः यच्छन् परत् अप्रतिलब्धा कामा परक्या दृष्टिर् लभते वमानम् क्वचित् क्वचित् क्षीणधनस्तु तस्मिन् शयासनस्तनविहारहीना यच्छन् परात् अप्रतिलब्धकामा पराख्यदृष्टिलभते वमानम् क्वचित् क्वचित् क्षीणधनस्तु तस्मिन् शयासनस्तनविहारहीना यच्छन् परात् अप्रतिलब्धकामा पराख्यदृष्टिलभते वमानम्
Sometimes. Kshinadana.
Kshinadana.
Becoming bereft of all riches.
Becoming
bereft
of all riches.
To but. Jasmine.
Jasmine.
In that forest.
Saya.
Of bedding, of lying down. Oh, sorry. Of bedding for lying down.
Asana.
Of a sitting place.
Sthana.
Of a residential house.
Vihara.
Of enjoyment as a family.
Hina.
Being bereft.
Vachan.
Begging.
Parat.
From others.
Friends and relatives.
Aprita. Apratinapa.
Apratinapta-kama.
Not getting his desires fulfilled.
Parakiyadrishti.
Becomes greedy for the wealth of others.
Navate.
He obtains.
Avamanam.
Dishonor. On the forest path of material existence, sometimes a person is without wealth, and due to this, does not have a proper home, bed, or sitting place, nor proper family enjoyment. He therefore goes to beg money from others, but when his desires are not fulfilled by begging, he wants to borrow or steal the property of others. Thus he's incited in society, proper. The principles to beg, borrow, or steal are very appropriate in this material world. When one is in want, he begs, borrows, or steals. If begging is unsuccessful, he borrows. If he cannot pay, he steals. And when he is caught, he's incited. This is the law of material existence. No one can live very honestly, therefore by trickery, cheating, begging, borrowing, or stealing, one tries to satisfy his senses. Thus, no one in the material world is living peacefully. Like Amagyantananda Zyaganandana Shlabaya Shakshat Mugitam Hirat Tasmai Siva Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stavitam Nina Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dharati Svaparantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adhita Radha Sri Vasitana Vakrini Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 So, this is a material world that in the material world all our endeavors are ultimately baffled. There is no success in material life. Even the body ultimately is not successful. For some time we experience, in particular when we are young, we are experiencing success in our body. The body is very strong. But as we become old, our body gradually fails and falls. There was a time, I remember I was young, beautiful, and dumb. And now I'm only dumb. The rest is gone. Dumb in front of Srila Prabhupada. You're supposed to. And so everything in the material world, there is no success because everything is built on the false foundation. Our whole endeavors are based on the false foundation, and that is the body. As the reality is that we are spirits, and this world is somewhat fake. It's a fake world. It's a real. It has some sense of reality. Relative degree of reality is here, but ultimately, it is not real. The spiritual world is real, and our self, our spiritual self, is real. And activities that are connecting the soul with the supreme soul, those activities are real. They're sat, they're truth. And everything outside is really asat, untrue. The material world is a lie. You know, it is not permanent, it appears to be permanent, it appears to be beautiful, but even something very beautiful will decay in due course of time and becomes putrid within seconds. We may lose everything. I just saw on the internet a couple of months ago, there was a German model, very famous. On every cover of every fashion magazine, he was depicted, the perfect face. But he had one habit, and that is at night he would go out and he would paint graffiti on trains, because that's where he came from, till he was discovered one beautiful day in Hamburg. He was discovered as the perfect face. It was covering every magazine, and he was jetting to New York and to San Francisco and to Tokyo for fashion shows, displaying the fashions of all the famous fashion houses in the world. So he climbed on a train, and it was kind of foggy. And so somehow an arch built, an electric arch built from the electric wire of the train to his body, and he burned his whole face up to his navel, beyond recognition. What has he now? Nothing. Because that's the only thing he had, was his face. Now if you would turn to Hare Krishna and chant Hare Krishna, never mind whether you have a face in your face or not. It doesn't matter, really, because the name is real. It doesn't depend on your face at all. The name is real. So his whole life was built on this foundation, false foundation of the face, and everybody's life in the material world is built on a false foundation on the body. There's one verse that describes this in Bhagavatam, and that is, Rasyat anu smitis chitam, jnana brahmsha smiti kshaye, tadradham kavaya prahur atma pavanam panavam atma. When one deviates from his original consciousness, he loses the capacity to remember his previous position, namely as soul, or to recognize his present one. When remembrance is lost, all knowledge is acquired on the false foundation. When this occurs, learned scholars consider that the soul is lost. And that is the history of all of us. We are lost, shipwrecked. Everybody is shipwrecked in the material world, and we come together with somebody that we meet, and we say, hello, I love you, will you tell me your name? We get together for some time like driftwood. Strangers in the night, lovers on first sight. Frank Sinatra, he said. That's exactly this the situation. And then we drift apart again like driftwood. One person goes here, one person goes there. And we are establishing these temporary identities that are bound to fail, these upadis. In the name of religion, in the name of race, in the name of this or that. And religionists in this material world in general, they don't have an idea. There's absolutely no concept of what is soul. Look at the Abrahamic religions in the Western world. Abrahamic comes from Abraham. Those are based on Abraham, whether it's Christianity, whether it's Muslim religion or Jewish religion. There's no defined concept of soul. What is soul? They will all say, I have a soul, and I am the body. And when the head of the greatest religious Christian institution was asked, do animals have soul? He said, I think. And Prabhupada, when somebody devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, I think, Srila Prabhupada used to say, don't. don't do that, Prabhupada said, don't do that. He said, I think that they have an immaterial and non-spiritual soul. I mean, give me a break. What does that mean? immature and non-spirit. I mean, it's either or the other. It's immature and non-spirit. It means he's speculating. He has no idea. Spiritually speaking, he is an unalpha. How do you call it? Illiterate. Spiritually illiterate. You know, every rickshaw waller in Calcutta knows. What am I, the head of a religious institution, if I can't answer a single simple question? Who am I? Well, I'm the head of the religious institution for. So the whole paradigm of mundane religiosity is based on this body. It's based on a false foundation. People have forgotten who they are. Number one, they've forgotten who they are, namely that they are aham brahmasmi. Something that we learn right from the beginning, aham brahmasmi. They've forgotten who they are. They don't know where they're coming from. They don't know where they are. They don't know where they're going to. They don't know what to do with their lives, basically. And they live in this phantasmagoria, in Disneyland, in this bubble. They will burst at the time of death, no doubt about it. And then they find themselves with absolutely nothing in their hands, because whatever has been created was built on a false foundation, and as the sages explain here, the soul is lost. So people suffer in the material world that I would like to call an intense crisis of identity. It's an intense, acute, permanent, practically speaking, as long as we, a crisis of identity. That I don't know who I am. And I identify, it's like a boy, a child in puberty. One can practically say that every materialistic person, spiritually, he is like a person in puberty. A young boy, he goes in front of the mirror and he puts the hat on the baseball cap this way, or maybe that way, or maybe that way. The hair, maybe this way. The seeker here, I see. You see it. In search for identity. What are fashion shows? It's nothing but in search of identity. And people try to find their identity. Who am I? But they're looking in the wrong spot. In search for it. This is humanity. From the prime minister down to the insignificant and, practically speaking, loss of identity, identifying with a body. And people have no idea of where we are. Take, for example, a bug in the intestines, an insignificant bug. He would say to his wife, "My dear, you're very beautiful. I love your lips, I love your teeth." It's just a bug. Let's unite and have some children. A frog will tell his wife, "Oh, you're wonderful, you're lovely. White mouth frog, huge mouth. I love you. Will you tell me your name?" It's a frog. So the bug in the intestines has absolutely no idea. He knows the recesses of my intestines, maybe. But he has absolutely no idea that he's part of the gigantic body. Relatively gigantic body of Preeta Das. He doesn't know. Just like we don't know that we are actually in the recesses of a gigantic spiritual form of the Lord, the Viratrupa. We don't know. And we are part of this gigantic form. And scientists will never to be able to figure this out. As much as a bug inside will not be understand how it looks from outside. So we, being inside the universal form, will not understand the universal form unless Krishna gives us eyes to see, like he gave eyes to Arjuna. What is this verse? Not by the senses one can understand Krishna. Atasi Krishna Namadina Bhavet Gravindriya. This is our answer to the scientists. You seek everywhere, but Atasi Krishna Namadina Bhavet Grahim Indriya Seva Mukhi Jivado. You will not be able, only Bandhavari Devoka. That is the position. So people are so lost in this material world like I said, in search of identity. And that is the position of every living being practically here there is. And even the religions we are having in the Western world, they're concocted far away from truth. So material life is the life of a hamster. Everybody knows what a hamster is, a little... A hamster is a glorified rat. People keep it in a cage. It is a glorified rat, actually. You take, cut the tail off from a rat, you get a hamster. And it's running in a wheel. And it's expending energy, all right. No doubt about it. It's working very hard. And we may go higher planet, lower planet, this day, we expend, but it's not going anywhere. That's the position of a living entity. It's like a hamster in a wheel. I know this game very well myself, because I played this game many, many lifetimes. And you too. We know this game very well. Living the life of a hamster and not going anywhere, because our life is not based on a proper foundation. It is based on the body. So, the symptom is, and we are in material life and we are in material consciousness, that we are always looking for material solutions. Now, when Srila Prabhupada, I happened to be in the room, and Prabhupada asked this question to his servant to give him some medicine. That's what it was. Give me some medicine. So the servant gave him a medicine. And Prabhupada took the medicine and he said, "Did you close the bottle?" And the servant said, "No, Srila Prabhupada." And he said, "Prabhupada, that is your disease." He said, "All of you." He said, "You know how to open bottles, but you don't know how to close them. You start so many new things, but you don't see the consequences. You know how to live, but you don't know how to die, and therefore I have to show you." And briefly after that he asked Yaruba, I think, to actually film his departure. And he said that before, "I have to show you." He was serious, and he had it filmed, how he would leave his body. So that's what we do in the material world. We're opening this bottle, that bottle, this bottle, that bottle. And the whole, take the environmental crisis. It is nothing but opening bottles. I mean, you have you don't see the consequences. You have an environmental pollution, the rivers are polluted, the oceans are polluted, the air is polluted, the food is polluted, the bodies are polluted, everything is polluted. And nobody knows how to close a bottle. Nobody knows. Opening bottles. And that's what people do. Trying to, let's try this as young people, when we were young, let us try this one, this drug or whatever. Opening, but you don't see the consequences. What happens to you in 20, 30 or 40 years? We don't know. That's what we do in material life, simply opening bottles. Whereas in spiritual life, we know there's one bottle we should open. There's iPod, there's iPad, and this is iBag. This is the iBag. That's the ultimate bottle. That's the bottle we should open. Because that bottle is real. And the consequences are absolutely sure, absolutely guaranteed, that Krishna will give us whatever we need. So that's the position of people in the material world. And people are bewildered, and they're trying so many things, and have so many ideas, defining religiosity, for example. Redefining the teachings of, Christianity, really, take it from me, I studied it long enough, it's nothing but redefining Jesus in modern terms. Whatever, 50 years, after he disappeared, it was always refining. And so people came up with this fantastic myth of the dying God. It's a myth. God never dies. featured after the Roman god Mitra, who was a dying god. He dies for his followers. The fantastic myth of the dying god is the salvation from the cross. Whereas the person who actually walked the earth, the historical Jesus, he was talking Sanatana Dharma. To love God is all one satsa by pum sampada moya thubatina dhaksati. That is a business. I took ya patiyata yayama supasiyati. That is the actual saving event. If we follow that, that will save us. That will kill the beast. Because inside of us, yes, in the Bhagavad Gita, we can see that Krishna said that the senses of mind are conquered by our enemies. In Germany, use the picture of the, they call it the Schweinhund, the inner Schweinhund, the inner pig dog. Everyone has to conquer that pig, that inner Schweinhund, is the beast. Has six heads. I was talking this morning about it this morning. It has six. What are the six heads? There's lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. These are the six heads like Kalia. There's many heads. And the question is, what kills the beast? The beast is not outside. The beast is right inside ourselves. What kills it? We can pray to, there's this prayer to Lord Balaram, Kamatsara Rakshatu Dinukari, Kudatsaraman Dribita Prahari, Rupatsara Rakshatu Balaradi, Mohatsaraman Kinamagadhari. Oh, Lord Balaram, please kill Kama, Kama Krodha, Lopa, and Moha. Kill lust, anger, greed, and illusion. We can do that. We can pray to Lord Nishinya. Kamasaya. What is that verse? Kamasaya. Randaya randaya tomu grasa grasa om swaha abhayam abhayam abhani vishtam shom. Destroy lust in me. Destroy the darkness. Drive away the darkness that has befallen me since time immemorial. Give me freedom from fear. Avayam, avayam, avani, buyashtam, kshram. But we have to do the work. That is the point. Srila Prabhupada was asked by disciples, Srila Prabhupada, can you save me? Prabhupada said, yes, but you have to do the work. I remember there was a letter by Satsuru Maharaj, by Srila Prabhupada to Satsuru. The situation was, he was a temple president in Boston, and they were out of money, so they decorated whatever money they had left, and they decorated the temple, the altar, very beautiful. And he wrote to Srila Prabhupada, we have now given everything to Krishna. Now Krishna can do with that what he likes, whatever he likes. And Prabhupada said, the idea to depend on Krishna is very nice, but you have to do the work, and then Krishna will help you. That's the point. Arjuna had to do the work. Then Krishna helped him. So we have to do the work. The German, since my body is made in Germany, we have one poet, his name is Schiller. Schiller, there's Goethe and Schiller, these are the two heads, like Shakespeare. Shakespeare was Goethe, really, in Germany. Schiller. Schiller wrote a song, The Glocke, The Bell, and it describes how people make a bell. And you never can say whether, when you crack ultimately the form, whether the bell is perfect. You cannot say. It's a gamble. And so, you know when you crack the form, and then the mass of the bell, he takes a hammer, and he hits the bell, and then he hears, perfect. If there's a crack in it, the whole work is useless. So he explains to his, he says something really deep to his workmen in German. Von der Stirne heiß rinnen muss der Schweiß, soll das Werk den Meister loben. Doch! Der Segen kommt von oben. It's very significant what he says, what he explains to his workmen. He said, Von der Stirn heiß rinnen muss der Schweiß. You have to work like a dog. Von der Stirn, from your forehead, hot, the sweat has to run. You have to work like a dog. If your work should praise the Lord, you have to work like a dog. But don't forget, the blessings come from the top. Der Segen kommt von oben. It's very, very, very clear understanding that we have to work like a dog for Krishna. And then Krishna will help us. This is the idea. We have to do the work. Then Krishna will help us. So in the same way, we have to ask ourselves what kills the beast. And yes, we can go to Lord Balaram. Yes, we can go to Lord Nishinadev. All this is good. But ultimately, we have to do the work. That is a fact. Krishna wants us that we do the work. We have to take the medicine. And unless we take the medicine, we will not be healed. So we have to ask ourselves, what's the time? So we have to finish. We ask ourselves then what we have to do, what kills the beast in this age of Kali. The beast inside. The beast is not outside. It's not Bill Gates. It's not the barcode. It's not Adolf Hitler. It's not this or that. It's right there. I have a problem. I publicly explain. I have a problem. You have a problem. Everybody has this problem that in this heart, in our heart, there are these tendencies to come out at every moment. And we have to ask ourselves what cuts it. There's only one medicine. And it is explained very beautifully in the song of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, oh, before I get there, we should understand our position. That beautiful verse, my dear Lord Krishna, this is what Lord Brahma says, describing the position of a conditioned soul in this world. Until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves. Thieves. Our desires, our senses, our mind. These are thieves. And our home, said their home remains prisons. And the attachment to family members and to friends are like foot shackles that tie us down. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have families. Yes, we can have families. Doesn't mean we should have children. Yes, we should have children. But we should. It is a matter of consciousness. Everything is a matter of consciousness. Prabhupada says in the purport, apparently the residents of Vrindavan, the board of Lord Krishna, are simply householders engaged in ordinary affairs, just like herding cows, cooking, rearing children, and performing religious ceremonies. However, they are intensely engaged in the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The residents of Vrindavan perform all activities, raising children, milking cows, cooking ghee, cooking rice, all these things, in intense Krishna consciousness. And thus exists on the most exalted platform of liberated life. So this is how we are supposed to conduct our lives. Because we are in this world, but taking from the Bible, there is one statement. We are in this world, but not of this world. This is the truth. We are not of this world. We are spirit souls. This is the actual Vaishnava Siddhanta to this verse. It's correct, but we should deeply understand it, that it's not that the soul in the material world can have a spiritual experience. It's not so. The truth is that we're having a very intense material experience at every moment in our life. That's what it is. We are actually spirit souls. We are not of this world, but we are in this world. We are having a very intense material experience. If we are becoming devotees in Krishna consciousness, we still have that, but sometimes we fall into Krishna. Prabhupada said that. Sometimes we fall into Krishna. That's what Prabhupada said. So, but the residents of Vrindavan, their position is that they are completely given to Krishna. The same activities performed without Krishna consciousness, raising a family, raising, constitute ordinary bondage to the material world. Thus one should not misunderstand the exalted position of the residents of Vrindavan, nor should one consider oneself highly religious performing some ordinary domestic affairs without Krishna consciousness. So we become very easily deviated like this into material existence again, rather than understanding what our position is, that we are asleep, jiv jago. So in the prayer of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says it all. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chanda Bodh. I saved myself, particularly, I don't want to cause pain to the Bengali ears here in this room. Lord Gauranga calls, wake up sleeping souls, wake up sleeping souls. You have slept so long on the lap of the witch Maya. You came into this world saying, oh my Lord, I will certainly worship you. But having forgotten this promise, you remain in great ignorance. Now comes the point. I have descended just to save you. Other than myself, who is your friend? Now how does Krishna, how do we understand this? Where is Krishna? It's in his name. Guru Keda Prema Dana Harinam Sankirtan. The Lord has descended in his name. And he is our friend. The Hare Krishna mantra is actually our only friend. It's our only friend. There's no outside, they are friends and friends, but our only friend in the ultimate analysis is the Holy Name. And whatever happens anyway in this material world, whether people treat us good, whether people treat us bad, whether people laugh at us, slander us, spit at us, torture us, it is never between me and the others. It is always between me and Krishna only, at every moment. It was always, it is always, at every second, and it always will be. It's only between me and Krishna. We have to understand this. This is Krishna consciousness, to understand that Krishna comes to us in many, many ways. And the best way, the highest way, is the Holy Name. And so he said, who else is here as your friend? I have brought the medicine for destroying the illusion of Maya. Now pray for this high Lam. That's the first thing. And take it. We also have to take it. That's not so easy. We have to also take the Holy Name. And so we have to have a reality check in our life as devotees. Do we still have desire for Dhanam or Janam or Sundam? Yes, that means we don't take enough medicine. Just like you know very well, if you have a disease, you go to a doctor, he gives you 5 pills, he said that it will fix it. If it doesn't, you have to take 10 pills. If that doesn't fix it either, you have to take 15 or whatever it takes to kill the disease, to kill the beast inside. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, in the end, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prabhu, Charene Pariya, Se Harina Mantra Loila Madhya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur fell at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga after begging for the Holy Name. And he actually received, he said, and he received the Hare Krishna, he got it. He received it because he was begging for it. So Krishna, he can solve all our problems. Only Krishna. But we have to do the work. There's one verse in Bhagavad Gita. If we do direct our consciousness towards Krishna, if we look towards Krishna, that's one issue. Then we cannot see the material world. I mean, if I were to turn around, if this is Krishna in front of me right here, if I'm directed towards Krishna, then yes, Krishna is Surya Sama Maya Andhakara. But if I turn around, I see so many things. I see the material world, and our general situation is that we have Krishna in the back. We're turning away from Krishna, and therefore we fall prey to Maya in so many, in such a variety of configurations, from subtle to gross, because we turn away. So if we turn to Krishna, machitta sarva durgani, all difficulties, sarva, all, Krishna says, mat prasaram, by my mercy, Tarishyas, you will be destroyed. Atachetvam ankaram natrasativit. But if you do not act in this consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. That is the point. So we have to do the work. And so Krishna therefore says to Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, utter to him, surrender to him utterly. At the end of the Bhagavad, surrender to him utterly. We have to surrender to the holy name. I mean, I've been going through the Hare Krishna movement for decades, and I can see myself, lack of surrender to the holy name. Otherwise, I would like to be somewhere else in my consciousness. And I should be after 40 years or 42 years in Krishna consciousness. But it is insufficient because of this lack of surrender to the holy name. That's the one, number one reason. And if you find in yourself deficiency, this is the number one reason right there, take it from you. I have enough experience of that. I have beaten up sufficiently in my life in Krishna consciousness. It's the number one deficiency. So if we take to it, if we take this medicine, if you actually do the work, and nobody can take this work from you, you have to do it, I have to do it, every single person, whether he's a sannyasi, whether he's a brahmachari, a household, a woman, a man, it doesn't matter whether he's black or white, it doesn't matter. Every one of us has to do the work. And if we do so, then our delusion, our illusion, will be gone. Like Krishna says to Arjuna in the end of Bhagavad Gita, my dear Arjuna, after he tells him, surrender unto him utterly, and give up everything and just surrender unto me, he said, is your illusion now gone? At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, and the Lord Arjuna is answering, my dear Lord, my dear Arjuna, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusion now dispelled? This is directed towards me and towards you. Is it? Can we say it is dispelled? Arjuna says, my dear Lord Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. Now I am free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions?
Thank you, for your very nice explanation of the class. I'm very grateful. Guruji, as you explained, once you said in the class that no matter what someone says to us, insults us, tortures us, it's not between us and them, it's between us and Krishna.
Yeah.
So if you can elaborate on this, how to understand this between us and Krishna.
What did you say? What should I do? What do you want to know from me?
How do we understand
it? Take for example disease. Disease comes to you. Where is it coming from? It's Krishna. Kamana Devanetrina. Under the direction of the Supreme Lord, we are suffering karma. Whatever we experience in this material world, unpleasant or pleasant, is karma. It is directed by Krishna. It will be me and Krishna. Why my brother died with 7 years of cancer? Horrible death. It's 4 years he fell sick. His brain was open so many times. He had a cut like this, you could see the scar. Another piece was taken out. Again it was sewn together. Another, again it was, the cancer was developing. My mother never regained her capacity, her facilities. It was too much suffering. When the child died, I asked the priest. I said, why does God allow it? I was 12 years old. The priest is standing there, Catholic priest, in his long black tala. I stand at the feet. I said, why is my brother suffering? He said, well, I don't know. He said, but in the Bible it says everyone reaps what he sows. I told him. What is he sown? He said, I don't know. I said, therefore there is no God. There's no justice. And you know, and I must say, you've turned me right now into an atheist. My mother said, Peter, you can't say that. It's a priest. My little brother's dying. He was just dead. How can you? I said, he turned me into I became an atheist. And only when I later understood, I read some book, a German book. Writer Hermann Hesse wrote a book called Siddhartha, about the life of Buddha. I understood, just like Christians, Hindus, or Christians, Muslims, or Jews believe that in future life I'm getting the results of this life. So in the same way, this life is nothing but the result of a previous life. So Kamana Deva Netrina, I could understand why my brother was suffering. And ultimately, that was a seminal event in my life that brought me to Krishna consciousness. I know now that there was a deeper purpose for him and also for me in it that actually brought me to the movement. So Krishna comes in his own way at every moment to us. And suffering, distress is another form of Krishna. And if somebody is giving us trouble, that's another form of Krishna. One who sees Numam Pashyati Savatra Savamchamai Pashyati Tasyamna Pranashami Satchamina Pranashati. That's my answer to your question. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost in me. Vasudeva Savamiti. One who knows that everything is Vasudeva. He is Samahatma Sudhulabha. He sees that. Vasudeva. So when I said that everything, whatever happened at every moment, it's nothing between you, it's not between them. This person gives you trouble, or this disease, or this person who's envious. It is between you and Krishna. Peter Brewer. Everybody, you know Peter Pierce. Some of you may know, famous tennis player. He was a follower of Srila Prabhupada. He, very rich man, he had a devotee stay in his house, and the devotee stole some money from him. So Peter Bhuvash went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, this devotee took my money. And Prabhupada smiled and said, don't be upset with the instruments of your karma. That's what Prabhupada said. Don't be upset with the instruments of your karma. Because that's what it is. He must have done something before and he loses his money. The person was just an instrument. Just an instrument. That doesn't mean that we understand he's the instrument, that he's okay, he will be dealt with, but that's in another court. But I have to understand he's the instrument of my karma, and therefore I should forgive him. So whatever comes to us is nothing but Krishna at every moment. And we have to, if we understand this, that is Krishna consciousness. Then we are not afraid anymore, because we see Krishna is coming to us at every moment. He takes care of us. And he does. You know, Krishna actually protects his devotee. He does. I have a personal experience of this. I tell you a horrific story. When I was preaching in Ireland, there was one devotee in Belfast. A boy from Belfast joined him as a Protestant. It's a very big thing in Ireland, Northern Ireland, Catholic Protestant. And then he left us, and I thought, well, that's it. And so the Catholic priest in Dublin called me. The man was a pain in the neck for us, this priest. He was always giving us trouble. And he called me, Father Martin Tierney. He said, Mr. Preetadas, you have to come. The uncle of this boy is there. This is boy. James, you know him, Protestant boy. He said, yes, I know him. I'm not going to come. He said, you must come. He's a very big man. You can So I went. So when I came, the man, big burly head, with a head like a bull. He looked at me and said, I don't want to argue with you about religion. I have my religion, you have whatever you have. I want you to tell James to go back to his mother and never come back to the Hare Krishna movement ever, period. Tell him. I said, James, how old are you? He said, 25 years, I said. 25 years, neither I should tell him nor you. He's 25 years old, he's an adult. Should make up his own mind. The man said, no, don't get me wrong, I want you to tell him right now. I said, never. He said, you tell him. I said, are you threatening me? He said, yes. I said, over my dead body. He said, you said it. You said it. And he ran out and slammed the door. And the priest was pale. The priest said, do you know who that was? It's a true story. He said, I don't know. He said, he is the head, the general of the Protestant underground army. He has at least 60,000 people under him, armed to his teeth. You're dead. He said, run, don't go to the airport, don't go to the temple. Don't fly to Germany, fly to Uganda or to Singapore. Disappear. He said, you insulted his false ego. Run for your life. I said, I'm not going to do it. He said, why? He said, I'm in this country for 14 years preaching. I'm not going to move an inch. He said, are you crazy? He said, Father, we have to have faith in God, isn't it? He said, what do you mean with that? I said to him, look, it is not in his power to kill me. He said, what? I said, look, if I'm supposed to die tomorrow morning, I will die for sure. I will fall from a chair. Never heart attack. Or I get killed by a car. Or he kills me. And if Krishna doesn't want to do it, he can't do it. He said, man, how can you have such faith? I grabbed his hand and said, Father, that's what religion is all about, isn't it? And you don't have this faith. He said, yes, that's right. He said, therefore I joined the Hare Krishna movement. This is not the end of it. Now comes the punchline. It's a true story. I went to the temple, the telephone rang. The priest was on the phone. He said, Mr. Preetadas, did you hear the news? I said, no. He said, that general, he was determined to kill you. I said, I know. He said, he went to his car, he turned the key, and a one-ton bomb blew him away. Srila Prabhupada ki!